Today on Focal Point from Pastor Mike Fabares.
Some of us have fumbled the ball when it comes to presenting the kind of Christian life that we're supposed to present before God. Trying to get people to glorify God, not just by our good works, but by the words that we say, by the message of the gospel that we share. But you got to make that decision. Galatians 1:10, Paul made it. Am I seeking the approval of people or am I seeking the approval of God? I want to please God in this, don't you?
You know, it's perfectly natural to want to be well-liked. There's nothing wrong with that desire in and of itself. But when our desire to be popular causes us to bend on our convictions, well, now that's a problem. And that's our subject today on Focal Point with Pastor Mike Fabares. Pastor Mike had the privilege of presenting this message at the annual Founders Week celebration at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. He challenged the students and faculty to stand for the truth, even when it's unpopular. And that's the challenge for each of us as well.
Second Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. I charge you, this is the Apostle Paul, you know this, to Timothy, who had a penchant for being a little bit too timid when he needed to be bold. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, and let's just be really clear about this, Timothy, he is to judge the living, Christians, and the dead. Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by the way, he's coming, and by his appearing and his kingdom, and when he comes, he will take his power, begin to reign. The kingdoms of the world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and his word will rule. He's in charge. You want an authoritative introduction, that's it. Hey, Timothy, in the presence of God and Christ, here's your command. Preach the word, verse 2. Preach it. And the good news of Christ needs to be unabashedly shared. As a matter of fact, he says you need to be ready to share that. Preach the word, verse 2, in season and out of season. Be ready, whether it's a good time and everyone applauds you, and it might have been that way in our great-grandparents' day. It was much more amenable. It was much more friendly. It was a lot less hostile for my grandparents. And even my parents. But whether it's in season or whether it's out of season, when they want to pick up rocks and throw them at you, he says, preach it. Preach the word. Share it. Declare it. Matter of fact, here's some words for you. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. We cannot share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a culture without beginning where Jesus always begins, and that is we've got a problem. Right? You understand all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The good news starts with the bad news that we've got a problem that God has graciously solved for us in Christ. But you better be ready to share that and reprove and rebuke and exhort. And you got to do that with a lot of long-suffering, with a lot of patience. You got to have a lot of perseverance and stick-to-itiveness. You've got to completely be patient and teach line by line, concept by concept, truth by truth. Why? Verse 3, because the time is coming. And by the way, it's here. Is it not? When people will not endure sound teaching, they won't like it. But having their itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They will turn away from listening to the truth. They will wander off into myths. But as for you, Timothy, you've got to always be sober-minded. Wake up. Endure suffering, even if it's hard. Do the work of an evangelist. You've got a good news message for a culture that needs it. You got to fulfill your ministry. You got a job. You've got to fulfill it. Just real quickly, four quick observations from these five verses. Look at verse number 1. I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus. You need to remember, in the 21st century, no matter how chilly it gets, when it comes to our view of what God has said and understanding that he has clearly spoken, we need to remember who we represent. Remember who you represent. We are representing the Lord Jesus Christ to our generation. And you and I have a job to do. And you need to do that job in light of your God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you think of Christ the way you ought to? He loves us, yes. He laid down his life for us. No greater love is anyone than that, yes. But Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's going to come back and say, what did you do with my word? And you don't have to be a preacher to preach the word. You just have to be a Christian in our generation, an ambassador of Christ. You represent the King. We cannot edit his message. And that's the next thing I want to say. Verse number two, you can't edit it. You can't change it. You've got to present it. And if it calls out someone in their sin, you have to do that. If it corrects them, if it rebukes them, if it's there to encourage them, bring the whole message. You cannot edit the message of Christ. We dare not use his word, a little sprinkling of the Bible here, a little verse there, so that we can present what we want to say to our generation. We cannot use God's word to preach our message. It's not about temporary happiness. It's not about temporary satisfaction. It's not about you having a better life or more purpose or less loneliness. It's not about you getting the perfect spouse or having a great job or getting the great career. It is ultimately about if all those things went wrong at the end of your life, you walk across the threshold of this life into the next, and Jesus says, welcome into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's what we need to share, the message of the truth of the gospel. I would hate to stand before the Lord at the Bema Seat judgment and have him say, Mike, you know, you were really nice and really well liked, and people liked all the things you said. You were really affirming and encouraging, and everyone felt better when they were around you, but I had a message to share and you sorted it out instead of just delivering it to them. And I'd hate to look across, if I ever can. I don't know how this works. Can I see the great white throne judgment? I don't know, but if I could, I would hate to have someone there turn and say, Mike, I knew you there on earth. Why is it that you just told me this and a little bit of that? You didn't bring the message of the gospel. You didn't plead with me as though God were making his appeal through us. Be reconciled to God. When the Apostle Paul shared the truth, in this case, in 1 Thessalonians, of sexual ethics and what God thinks about your sexual ethics, he didn't say, if you reject this, you're rejecting me. He didn't say, if you reject this, you're rejecting the truth. He said, if you reject this, you're rejecting the Holy Spirit. You're rejecting God. He said, that's what I love about you Thessalonians. When I brought the word of God to you, you accepted it not as the word of people. You accepted it for what it is, the word of God. Don't edit the message, because when you give it straight, and I'm not saying in any mean way, dismissive way, condescending way, if I give the word of God to my generation, God aligns himself with that. Not to mention conscience. Let's think about your conversion. Someone at one point told you were a sinner and in need of a savior. Am I right? Someone told you that. And not only did God speak through that person, but your conscience bore witness to the truth of that. Do you know the people that you're so afraid of offending? Their conscience is saying exactly what you need to say to them. Exactly. They may suppress the truth in their unrighteousness, but they know. As they lay in bed at night and look up at their dark ceiling in their room, they know this, that when a Christian tells them, you got to get in the ark, the flood is coming, their conscience goes, that's right. That's true. I need to hear that. I need to respond to that. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove if you have to. Rebuke if you have to. Exhort if you have to. Be completely patient. Keep doing it and teach them this truth. I don't care if they don't like the exclusivity of the gospel. I don't care if they don't like God's absolute claims. I don't care if they don't like the fact that he's giving us rules and he claims he's in charge, so we should do what he says. We give the truth of the gospel to our generation. Post-Christian America, which we're living in, is looking a lot like pre-Christian Rome. And in pre-Christian Rome, as the book of Acts ends, it says that the leaders came to the Apostle Paul and they said, we want to know what's going on with this sect, this thing called Christianity, because we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Why is everybody so upset with your message? I understand God is making his appeal through us. I understand the conscience bears witness to the truth of what we say, but we do know this. There's a spiritual battle going on, and people often don't like to hear the truth. I mean, I think of what was going on in Pittsburgh not long ago. Chick-fil-A had the audacity to try and sponsor the kids' marathon in their town. They make sandwiches and waffle fries. Good ones. But because the owner once said, you know, I believe in that thing that centuries of people have believed in, not just Christians. I believe in marriage as it's defined in the Bible, and I don't mean to be crazy about this, but this is just the man-woman life covenant. I just think that's the way it is, and he's on record as saying it. 9 of the city council members in Pittsburgh recently signed a letter to not let Chick-fil-A just be the sponsor for a kid's running marathon. Petitions were posted everywhere to prevent the sponsorship. And I'm telling you, Chick-fil-A isn't handing you a turn or burn track when you get your sandwich, you understand? I mean, this is not even in your face. This is someone just saying, yeah, you know, I kind of believe what the Bible says about marriage, that's all. It takes more boldness now than it did for our great-grandparents. If they were Christians in your family, it's going to take more boldness, but that's exactly what you ought to be asking for. You ought to be praying for it. You should be asking people to pray for it. The Apostle Paul seemed like a pretty bold guy. He wasn't Timothy. And yet he says this in Ephesians 6:19. He says, pray for me that words might be given to me in the opening of my mouth that I might boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Hey, Christian, we need some boldness in the 21st century. We need a little bit more boldness. And it's the bold person who stands in the gap between heaven and hell and calls people to repentance, snatching them from the fire, as Jude says. Who on that last day are going to feel really good about the fact that they cared more about Christ and what he thought than what people thought of them. Don't expect the world's applause. As a matter of fact, the world's going to want religion, verses 3 and 4. It's going to make them feel good. Time is coming. People are not going to endure sound teaching. Look at it. They have itching ears. They want to accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Look at verse 4. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. We want myths. We want you to tell us lies. Sweet little lies. Just tell us lies. I know their flesh wants that. That's not what their soul needs. But if you're expecting the world to applaud you when they crucified our Savior, then I think you've got the wrong expectation here. You want to be the employee of the month? You want to be the neighbor, you know, who gets everyone to like them and wants to go to your house? I mean, I'm just saying this. Listen, we got to be ready. Jesus said it, couldn't say it more clearly. John 15, listen, if they hated me, I'm sure you'll do better than I did. No, if they hated me, what? Gonna hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. You know, the number one goal for most modern Christians, it seems, is to not be persecuted, to not be hated. Jesus said, listen, if they hated me, if they persecuted me, they're going to hate you. If you were of the world, they would love you as its own. Why does the church want to be loved like we're part of the world? Why? Why? Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. We really think we're going to have a better reception in our generation than Jesus had in his? What are you expecting? I mean, let's get real about this. Are you ready to stand out and say, I will boldly, lovingly share what people need to hear, not just what they want to hear? I don't want to be a part of the myth generation. I don't want to be part of a church that's just telling people what they want to hear. Oh, I want to be loving. I want to be diplomatic. I want to speak the truth in love, but we have to speak the truth, even in a culture that doesn't want to hear it. Here's the forecast for us personally. Paul and Barnabas went around strengthening the souls of the disciples. And I'd like to say this to you tonight. Let's get ready for this. He encouraged them. Encouraged them. This is an encouraging word coming up. Ready? Here's the encouragement for you. Acts 14:22. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Be encouraged. You know, when the road is bumpy for the Christian life, when the world doesn't like us, when even if we try to do a good work like sponsoring a kids' marathon and they push us back, at least I know this, everything's right on schedule. When the road gets bumpy, if the map is turn right here, the road will get really, really bumpy before you get to the cabin. And it's really bumpy, you don't go, oh, I can't believe, I must have turned down the wrong path. No, you're on the right road. If everyone likes you in this world, we got a problem. You got to choose between being popular or being a faithful ambassador of the message. Do we idolize the acceptance of the world? Don't expect the world's applause. I mean, that's really what I want to say, right? Remember who you represent. Don't edit the message of God, and then don't expect the world to cheer us on in this. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Tacitus, the first and second century Roman historian, said of Christians, they are a class of persons who are loathed, they are hated by the human race. We're trying to avoid that. At least the Romans looked at the early Christians in pre-Christian Rome and said, yeah, they're doing exactly what Christ said would happen. They are faithfully, lovingly presenting the opportunity for you to get in the ark and be saved from the wrath that is to come, and the world doesn't like it. But today we're working so hard so that no one is offended by our message. 2 Corinthians 2 says we're a fragrance in this world. We are an aroma of Christ. And to the one, we're a fragrance of death. I don't want to be a fragrance of death. I know people that are a fragrance of death that I run into from time to time. And I don't like it. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what they eat before they come to the gym. I don't know if they don't wear deodorant. I just don't like your smell. And the Bible's very clear, as Christians, presenting the truth, we're not going to be benign, we're going to be smelly for Christ. And you and I are going to offend some people, and they're going to go, ooh, that stinks. I would hate it if that's where it ended. It's kind of like that truncated message in Acts 14, through many tribulations we've entered the kingdom of God, but there's nothing greater than to continue to be faithful to the word, delivering it in season or out of season, and end up having the next part of that verse come true. And you're also a fragrance of life to those who are being saved. Some of us want to be as neutral smelling as possible. You got to smell it up this week. There's a tweetable line from the sermon tonight. Right? Smell it up for Christ. And your coworkers and neighbors, some of them are going to go, you stink. I liked you better before that Founders Week thing because you just were kind of just fitting in and everything was cool. Now you stink. But you know what? And it might be one out of 50. It might be one out of 30. It might be one out of 300. But that one person that heaven will rejoice over when they repent of their sins and put their trust in Christ and they walk onto the ark of Christ's cross. Heaven's going to have a party. And you're going to high-five them. You want to know someone you're going to high-five? Someone who's saved because you were faithful to preach the word in season and out of season. You're a fragrance of life. Verse 5, as for you, be sober-minded, endure suffering. It may be hard. Do the work of an evangelist. You may feel like you're out of your league to hear the words, preach the word, but I'm telling you, fulfill your job. Do the work of an event. Share the good news. Fulfill your ministry. We're sharing this message with a lost world, not so that we can be argumentative, not so we can be difficult. And I can talk about all this pushback, and you can look at the, you know, Philadelphia City Council, and you can start to hate. Don't hate these people. Right? You were blinded at one point from the gospel. Right? I hate the enemy. I hate the tempter. I hate the demons. I hate the spiritual battle that I'm in, but these are people I love. Do you love the lost? Tell them the truth. And we don't want any benign stuff just coming out of our mouth. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little religion, a little Christ, a little God, and never getting to the issues. Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Do it with complete patience and teaching, because you've got to stay sober-minded. You've got to do the work of an evangelist. You've got to suffer hardship. You have to fulfill your ministry. There's one thing I want to leave you with tonight. It's that you need to look for Christ's approval. One day he's going to say either you fulfilled that ministry, you brought the message to your generation, or he's going to say that wasn't what I wanted out of you. You don't want to be saved, though, as by fire. 1 Corinthians 3, that's not a statement about purgatory. That's a statement about the fact that some of us have fumbled the ball when it comes to presenting the kind of Christian life that we're supposed to present before God. Trying to get people to glorify God, not just by our good works, but by the words that we say, by the message of the gospel that we share. But you got to make that decision. Galatians 1:10, Paul made it. Am I seeking the approval of people or am I seeking the approval of God? I want to please God in this, don't you? We look for God's approval. We look for Christ's approval. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And that ain't going to happen if we stay quiet. It's not going to happen if we capitulate to the world. It's not going to happen if we hold our finger up and wait for the culture to tell us what it's okay to talk about in the Bible. It's not going to happen. Well done, good and faithful servant, is the person who says, in the presence of God and of Christ, the one who's going to judge the living and the dead, by his appearing, by the kingdom, I'm going to speak the truth. Because it is the inspired, authoritative word of God, every last bit of it. You need to say, even if I don't fit in, if they call me outdated, fundamentalist, narrow-minded, dumb, irrelevant, leaving in some old, dusty book, one day Christ is going to appear. The judge of the living and the dead. His kingdom will come. He'll take his great power and begin to reign. The kingdoms of the world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. You want to be on the right side of history? Everyone's talking about being on the right side of history these days. I want to be on the right side of history. Your view of history, though, people, far too short when they tell me that. You want to tell me I want to be on the right side of history, so I need to change definitions? I need to change my view of what's right and wrong? I need to change my view of the exclusivity of the gospel? No, I'm going to be on the right side of history if I just stick to it. They're going to call me weird. But one day, when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, the message of his truth that was delivered to us to be faithful messengers to our generation, all that's going to matter is whether you did it. Doesn't matter what your classmates thought. So go ahead, talk about it. Read about it, think about it, ponder it, meditate on the truth of the gospel, boldly proclaim it to your generation, because if we don't do it, who in the world is going to do it? The truth of God's word. It's inspired, it's authoritative, it's inerrant, it's infallible. We've got a message to bring to our culture. Let's bring it. Let's don't be afraid. Pray with me. God, in a day when it's getting really chilly, in terms of our reception, when we talk about Jesus, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, when we talk about God the Father, when we talk about the truth of the word, that even though the flower fades, the grass, it withers, the word of God that we say stands forever, having the same opinion that Jesus Christ had of the scriptures, and we get pushed back, and we have people making fun of us, and we have people turning their nose up at us. God, give us boldness. Don't let us stay in our timidity. Don't let us be afraid. Don't let us be swayed. Give us boldness to preach the gospel. Let us preach the word, whether it's in season or out of season. Let us man up, put our coat on, and get out there and do the work, no matter how cold it gets. For your name's sake, amen. Amen.
Amen. Reminding us to never waver in our devotion to the truth. You're listening to Pastor Mike Fabares and a message called The Inspired Word, and this is Focal Point. Now, if you joined us a little bit late today, you can catch the full broadcast when you visit us online at focalpointradio.org. As Pastor Mike just said, we're living in a culture that's growing increasingly hostile to the gospel. Talking about sin and our need for forgiveness, that can make people uncomfortable, even angry. But that's why programs like this one are so essential. We're committed to teaching what the Bible says, not tickling anyone's ears just to keep an audience. And when you donate to Focal Point, you become the catalyst that keeps these messages coming on the radio and online. Now, it's easy to take that step right now. Just give us a call at 888-320-5885. And when you give, as a thanks, you're invited to request a one-of-a-kind resource we've picked out for you. It's called Who is Jesus Really? By Josh McDowell. Now, this unique book is both informative and entertaining. It offers a solid defense of our faith in the form of a novella. It's perfect for seasoned apologists and those who are just curious about the Christian faith. Request your copy of Who is Jesus Really? When you donate today. Give us a call at 888-320-5885, or you can automate a monthly donation by becoming a Focal Point partner. Sign up at focalpointradio.org. If you'd rather mail in your donation, just write to Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California, 92654. And remember to include a note asking for your copy of the book. Well, I'm Dave Drewy, glad to have you with us today. And be sure to join us again tomorrow as we begin to prepare our hearts for Easter with a message called, Am I a Fool to Believe in the Resurrection? We're finding solid evidence in defense of our faith, Wednesday on Focal Point. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.